Thank you, Mr. West Huddle. Appreciate that very much. Okay, let's... I don't know how long I'm going to make it, but I got to make it through the 2 Corinthians 3. And so I'm just going to talk softly and see if we can get this done. Let's talk about prayer. Need to be in prayer for Vic and Cindy Edwards. Need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. Please be in prayer for her throughout the day. And Don Becker. And their daughter Julie, who is 24 hours taking care of Nancy. So that's a chore. And very appreciative of her doing that. Let's see. Harold Simonson, need to be in prayer for him. I'm sorry? I don't think they're going to do an operation. So I don't know what they're going to do, though. Yeah. I don't think they make up their mind this weekend, the way I understood it, Sunday. Any other prayer requests? So, yes, sir. She left today, that's right, April 1st. I remember that now. She got two on plane.
She got four bags.
Yes.
She's
I'm going to travel with her. Man, she sounds like a winner. Man, I mean. I've only had the check through overweight one time. This was even before all of the high stuff and expenses and everything. And so right there in the middle of the airport, I opened it up and I threw stuff in my carry-on, because they can be as heavy as you want, because you're the one carrying it. And I'd zip it all up, and it said, "Now you need another 3 pounds." I'd unzipped it, and I got it all in there. And so that was funny. So she's traveling today. Where does she land? Athens? Frankfurt, Germany. Athens. Okay. All right. How long is the flight from here to Frankfurt, Germany? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, they're having a strike at the airport?
No, the whole country.
In Greece.
Drivers, bus drivers. Well, see, every before Easter and before Christmas, they always do that. That's just like clockwork. You don't know what day. You know, oh, Easter coming up. They're going to have a strike sometime. The whole country.
Wow. So at the airport, that would be baggage?
Yeah.
Wow. If you want your luggage, you get up in the shuttle of the plane and you get on your own. We're out of here. Wow. My goodness. Oh, wow. Well, let's be in prayer. For Kit's wife, as she travels, they can be very strenuous and all that. So let's be in prayer. And she's going to be there how long? A month. So you remind me again in May that we need to be back in prayer. Okay. Yes, sir. O'clock tomorrow morning.
Also,
Leukemia? Now, did they just find the leukemia? Oh, they didn't find her. Okay. All right. Stephanie. I lost a very close friend, Paul Stark. Went through seminary together, and great pianist, organist, pastor over in Longview. And he called me up one day and said, I got to come in and go to the doctor down there. And so I said, well, come on by. And he came by on his way, and we talked and laughed. And then he came by afterward, and I stupidly said, boy, I need to get whatever you got so I can lose weight like you have. And he had leukemia. And he died a few months later. Three-year-old son. Wow. My goodness. Okay, got these prayer requests, so let's begin in our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to have a God that we can go to in prayer. A God that we know that cares about individuals. You care about the bird falls from the tree, the feathers on a bird, and hair on our head. You're God who cares. You're God, we can bring our petitions to you to work them out for your glory and our good. We lay these prayer requests before you, Father, that your will be done in all of them. Father, we pray now that your Spirit will lead us in our study, open our eyes to things that you would have us to see, Father. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, due to the sake of time, and I do want to finish this and not hurt my voice, so let's just jump right where we left off, verse 14. We finished 13 last week. Let's jump right to verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the, and this very day means now in the church age, the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. Okay. But their minds were hardened. The veil moved from over Moses to over the Pharisees. Once again, the veil hid. The veil hides the glory of Jesus Christ. Their minds, people, this is the place of battle. Place of battle is in our minds. It's the battleground. Our mind. Where we choose to see or not see. So this is the great battleground. Minds hardened over a period of time. They kept on rejecting what the law revealed. Glory of God. And their total inability to see how weak they were and their need of a Savior. So they kept saying no and no and no, and this was passed down generation to generation, so that they had hardened their hearts. We can do that about so many things in life. Just keep saying no, you harden your heart. So this happened over a period of time. And when this happens, you cannot see who Jesus Christ is. You have a distorted view of even seeing of God. So they distorted the law into a system of righteousness that we're studying on Romans 2 on Sunday morning. Distort the law, you distort the glory of God. They were hardened against the glory, and because of the way that they understood the law. Now, they were so hardened that they did not see the incarnation, the death, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. They did not see all of that, even in the time of those that were there, until this very day. Okay. We've now moved into the church age where the Jews continue to read the old covenant of Moses as they do right up to today. Today they still do not see it. There's still a veil over them. The book of Hebrews would be a place to study this now, what is going on with the Jews at the time of Paul and the beginning of the first century of the church. The Jews are still looking still reading, hoping that in the old covenant they would see. But every time they read it, all they saw was law. So that is until this day. At the reading of the old covenant, Mosaic covenant, throughout history of Israel, they would read certain portions of the Old Testament on various holidays and feasts, but they would also note and study the other books of the Bible in the synagogues. Yet, doing all this reading and all of the original texts and all that, they still did not see it. They did not see it. At the public reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil, the same veil remains unlifted. Now, the veil that covers Jesus Christ is the veil we're talking about. The veil that hid Jesus Christ remains, and it remains unlifted over their eyes. Why does it remain unlifted? The next phrase, because it is removed in Christ. Present passive indicative of kartageo means to cease, means to take away, to remove. The passive voice, the veil is removed. Remember, the veil is not a literal veil. This is in their mind. They do not see the truth. So, passive voice means that the veil receives being taken away, being removed. So, it receives it when they open their eyes to see the truth. Now, removed in Christ. It's removed in Christ. All right? What does this mean? Removed in Christ. It's amazing how many things, how many issues, how many questions are removed once a person sees Jesus Christ. We're moving in the world today, be totally anti-Jesus Christ. Got an email where one of the members of the Supreme Court, any prayer that ends with Jesus Christ or Christ, Jesus, cannot be done publicly. At a government facility, it can end though in Allah. That's fine, but not in Jesus or Christ. And he gave some rhetoric as to explaining the difference, and all it was idle rhetoric. Okay, so the veil is in their mind, and it covers up who is Christ. And like I said, there are so many questions. Life hereafter, what happens at death? What's going on? What about my life, my personal life? All these questions are answered once you see who Jesus Christ is. And the person sees Christ, he understands and believes in the person of Christ and where all of these things fit into history. Not just questions about the origin of the earth, but about themselves, their marriage, their future, these things. Verse 15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. Verse 14, their minds were hardened. Verse 15, their hearts, that the veil lies over, so that they cannot see who Christ is. But to this day, church age, whenever Moses is read, a veil, not the veil, no definite article, the quality is emphasized, not identity. The quality of this veil is that you do not see, you refuse to see who Jesus Christ is. Whenever Moses is read, should point out who Jesus Christ is. But the truth, in reading these things, when the veil is removed, you see where the law fits in, where all of these things fit in. They do not see the glory that provides the escape from condemnation of the law. Verse 16. But, particle introducing a change. Whenever a man turns to the Lord. Okay, aorist, active, subjunctive. epistereo, stepheo, compound epi, which means to, and stripho means to turn, to turn upon, turn toward. The aorist tense points out a fact, not a time factor, but the fact, just a historical fact. The active voice, the veil, is the subject. Whenever there's not, whether or not the veil is removed is dependent upon faith decision toward Jesus Christ. The condition of removing of the veil, turning to the Lord. The veil is taken away. It's dependent upon turning to the Lord. The veil is removed, and they begin to see and understand. This is the great issue of it being removed. They begin to see the glory. Whenever a man, now up to now he's been talking about the Jews, but I think here this includes Jew and Gentile, turns to the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord here is Jesus Christ, the one being hidden behind the veil. Turn is respond to the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the glory of the Holy Spirit, who lifts the veil when one responds. How does one turn to the Lord? By faith. That's how we turn to the Lord. Faith responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verses like this, phrases like this, give inaccurate information to people who want to have a crossless gospel. Nothing about what you believe here, just turn to the Lord. Doesn't even say faith. So if anybody just considers Christ, some people say, oh, well, they're saved. They've got to know how we turn to the Lord. We turn to the Lord by faith. Faith responds to the gospel. So the procedure, acknowledge, confess that one is alienated from God, from Jesus Christ, repent or change your mind about being alienated, and then put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's turns to the Lord. Then look at it says, the veil is removed. Okay, now things change. The veil is removed. They see who Christ is. They turn to Him by faith. So, things change. Now we're ready for verse 17. Things change. Now, and it's very important, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, we have here two paracletes together. John 14, I was saying another paraclete like me. So we have two paracletes here. John, I will send you another, just like me, paraclete, helper. But I just like staying with the Greek word. Helper doesn't cover it all. Helper really gives you the wrong idea that you got to do your part. So that's why I have trouble with translating it. Helper. Another way of looking at this is communion. The bread, Jesus Christ. The cup is the Holy Spirit. Now, this means, this is important, now that the veil is lifted, how is it lifted? Faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord, in verse 16, is Jesus Christ. But now that you are a believer in Christ, now your Lord is the Holy Spirit. See how this works? So the Holy Spirit is our Lord, who will take us to our Lord, Jesus Christ, who will take us to our Lord, God the Father. So now we have the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Now we're ready to get into all the glory passages, which is why we're even here. So Jesus Christ is our Lord at salvation. The Holy Spirit is our Lord in life. Our Lord, the Holy Spirit, takes us to our Lord Jesus Christ, takes us to our Lord God the Father, and this is very important. You don't get bogged down in any member. Charismatics get bogged down with the Holy Spirit. Some people get bogged down with Jesus Christ. But it's Jesus Christ, it's the Holy Spirit, who takes us to Christ, who takes us to God the Father. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, this is the Holy Spirit, they're one, and where the Spirit, Holy Spirit of the Lord, Jesus Christ, they're one. Where the Spirit is, where the Holy Spirit is, that is inside, where is He? Inside of every believer, and effective work inside of every believer when the believer walks by faith in the Holy Spirit. So, we do not sound like saying something we're not saying about faith. Faith does not have power. Faith has no power. All the faith in the world does is allow the power of God to operate in us, in our lives. Faith has no power. It allows God to act in our lives. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, Holy Spirit, there is liberty. Actually, there's no verb. It says there, liberty. His glory abides on both sides. On both sides. The Lord, so what I'm saying here is that you have glory at the cross, Jesus Christ. Then you have glory. Is it up there? Okay. Then you have glory in your life by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. But in the Holy Spirit. Okay. So we have faith in both. We have glory in both of those areas. Okay. There, liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there, liberty. Where one is, the other is. Where one is, Holy Spirit, the other, Jesus Christ, is. Okay. There, liberty. Eleutheria. Eleutheria means freedom, liberty. And we all know how precious liberty is, how precious freedom is, and how valuable they are. We also know how costly they are. This is a very important point in dealing with our lives. There is liberty. Now, what's he really contrasting this with? Why does he come up with the word? The law is not liberty. So he's contrasting these two states. You got the law, you're enslaved. You got the Holy Spirit in Christ, you have liberty. Okay, the context. Why in the context does Paul speak of liberty? Why does he do that? Look back at verse 15. But to this day, wherever Moses is read, the veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. A veil is something that hides, something that prevents one from seeing what lies behind the veil. So there is a darkness over all of us. There's a darkness. Can't see reality. Faith in Jesus Christ, boom, ah, it all starts making sense. The light is there. You're set free of the darkness. Liberty would be to be able to see what's behind the veil. The freedom to see. But in a broader sense, he's talking about the law. The law enslaves. Got to keep the law. The law kills. No freedom in the law. Whenever you live by the law, there's no freedom. So we have two conditions that require freedom. Freedom from the law that kills. Freedom from the veil that conceals the truth. So we have freedom or liberty to see. The veil is lifted. To live. Okay. Now, this would be a good time, but let me just give it to you. I'm running out of my voice. Look at Galatians 5:1, where Christ has set us free. And don't ever go back into slavery. That lets us know what he's talking about. Well, it's only a few pages away from us. Let's look at 5:1. In 5:1 of Galatians, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, see, that's what happens when the veil is lifted. You see Christ. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. What's the yoke of slavery? The law. And when you get into the law, it puts the veil over. So you're not able to see what is going on. Jesus Christ as our Lord gave us freedom from the Mosaic law. Freedom from Satan. Freedom from sins. Even freedom from the sin nature. But only when you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, that by faith, do we experientially enjoy the freedom we have in Christ. Both Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, give freedom. And this freedom to live is dependent upon the freedom to see what's going on, to be able to understand the Word. Where the Holy Spirit is, Jesus Christ is. So this again is communion. The bread, Jesus Christ. The cup, the Holy Spirit. Communion is a picture of liberty. It's liberty we have at phase one, salvation one, faith in Jesus Christ. It is also liberty to live the Christian life, to live by the Holy Spirit. So we have this liberty and freedom. The Lord is the Holy Spirit in living the spiritual life. This is why Jesus Christ said, I will send you, which is what we're studying, another Parakletos, who will take my place. Where I am, where he is, I am. Where I am, he is. Okay, let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory, here's our glory now, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Okay, but we all. This refers to church age believers after the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session of Jesus Christ. With unveiled face. Okay, how did we get the unveiled face? Verse 14, the veil is removed in Christ. Seeing who Jesus Christ is, believing in him as Savior, the veil is removed. So by faith in Christ, with face unveiled, we will start seeing the glory of Christ. Beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The mirror is a reflection. It's a reflection of the glory of the Lord seen in the Holy Spirit. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Okay. You're ready for this, from glory to glory. Look with me at Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. We will look at verse 17. Now, a phrase in 1 Corinthians is glory to glory. Now, look at verse 17. of Romans 1. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, so we have faith to faith. Let's start with Romans passage. From faith to faith. Faith, first faith here is salvation, one, or eternal life, salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. Two, that's where we're saved here. But what happens after we're saved? Faith to faith. This is a reference to salvation two, or living the Spirit-filled life. We live the Spirit-filled life by faith in the Holy Spirit. Okay, any question? Now, in our passage in 1 Corinthians, we have glory to glory. Okay, we have the glory of salvation one. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. It's revealed. We see his glory. Then this is to glory. This is salvation two. Living the Christian life, we see the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the whole plan. This is a process throughout your whole life, this glory. So from faith to faith, from faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the Holy Spirit, glory to glory, faith, the glory of Jesus Christ to glory of all that is going on in history. There is a glory that we receive associated with salvation, one, our eternal life salvation. There is a glory we receive throughout our lives as long as we walk by faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This first glory is what we have in John 17:22. Let's just orient ourselves. It says, well, we'll be back next week if I live that long. All right. John 17:22, which is where we got into all this glory. And the glory which thou hast given me, this is the prayer of Jesus Christ to the Father, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. That is the first glory that we have on the board. Glory to glory. That they may know, that they may be one, just as we are one. So we have things to learn, and glory does things. By giving us this glory, we are bonded together. So this is the glory that Jesus Christ is talking about, from glory to glory, salvation, and into the Spirit-filled life. So the second glory is that glory we receive from the Holy Spirit to live our lives. Now, this really completes that study, but just to show you something here, look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, the last sentence of verse 18, last phrase, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Okay, now verse 4, forget the chapter break. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in the craftiness of adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the light of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, there's our veiling, it is veiled to those who are perishing, they're rejected, in whose case the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds, there's that mind again, of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel, of the glory, of Christ, who is the image of God. So we're being transformed into the image of Christ, who is in the image of God. So we're being transferred back into the glory image of God. How did we start out in the garden? Created in the image of God. Okay. I know it's very early, and I hope you don't feel cheated, but just wanted to finish this much, and we'll spend an hour and 20 minutes next time. No, we won't. No, we won't. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many things going on in our life spiritually. As we grow by allowing the Holy Spirit to open up the truth of Scripture, we start becoming mature. And mature is the glory that we're talking about here. The reflected glory of Christ out of us when we love as He loved. That's how we glorify Him, by trusting Him, by reflecting the glory of His love. I pray, Father, you take the things we've seen in this chapter and have it strengthen and encourage us. And now, Father, pray you guide us as we get back next week to Jesus Christ sending us the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.